think that deserves a dun-dun-dun, doesn't it? I know. How dare they?
This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of the Get That Gang. In our weekly show, we cover news and views from our businesses, along with a top-of-mind topic. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest, and every now and again we invite a guest along to share their experience and expertise. After 90 episodes of just audio, we're now on YouTube as well. So feel free to catch up there. Just search for the Trainers Training Company or the Get That Gang, or download us on audio only through your favourite podcast streamer. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, and we're at episode number 93. Wow. But more of that later at some point, I'm sure. Sharon, how are you doing? How was your week last week? What's going
on? I'm very good, thank you. Little bit tired this week, this Monday, which we will come on to. Mm-hmm. But in general, my week has been very, very busy. I couldn't believe it when I woke up on Sunday because, you know, I said to you last week, it never snows in Swansea. But it did snow in Swansea.
Yeah.
And then it snowed again on Sunday.
No, how dare it? What's going on with the world?
Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, this is twice now.
I know. I saw the forecast.
It's 2 weeks.
I saw the news over the weekend, more snow for Wales. And I'm going, oh, dear.
What is going on?
Since you've moved there, nothing has worked out the way it was supposed to, has it?
It really hasn't, has it? It's just very, very strange, very strange. And it's been absolutely freezing cold, just so cold. In fact, so cold I didn't even go out yesterday. Really unusual for me. I was like, I can't bear it. It was snowing for a lot of the day, which is fine, but there was this really cold, biting wind.
Yes, it was icy, wasn't it?
And you stuck your head out the door, he's like, oh no.
Yeah. It was very, very cold, you're right, yeah.
So I spent the weekend sort of hibernating inside, doing quite a bit of work, which we'll come on to, and an inordinate amount of time trying to find another pair of jeans that I couldn't find.
So these are jeans that you have or jeans that you're searching for on the internet?
No, jeans that I have.
Okay.
So I have two pairs of these. Some of the jeans that I wear, I think as I mentioned to you, I think on a previous podcast, These are my dream jeans that I wear. I only ever buy these jeans, These type of jeans. I mean, they're a bit pricey, but they're worth it because they fit me right. They're really stretchy. Mm-hmm. They've got little zips at the bottom. I just wear them all the time. And so good, I've got two pairs, you see, because when I wash one, I like
of
to have
course.
The other one there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was, I could not find, I only had one of these pairs of jeans in my wardrobe, and I was convinced, well, I couldn't find them anywhere. And I was well, I haven't been out anywhere, so
where are they?
Where are these jeans? And doesn't it drive you mad, things like that?
Completely.
I couldn't stop thinking about it, and then I'd be like, right, I'm going to have another look. I'm going to find all the drawers out and everything.
Oh, my word.
And I was sat here last night and just doing something. Jim came in and he just went, handed me this. And I went, what? And he went, what is that? And I went, oh, my jeans, where were they? I said, were they in your wardrobe? He's like, no.
Jacques.
Well, apparently what I'd done was, because when it's been really cold, I'd literally, when I'm going out with Jem, I've been putting my, on your recommendation, putting leggings underneath and then putting jeans over the top.
Mm-hmm. It works, doesn't
and
it?
And one of the days that I came in, I literally must have come in, taken the jeans off, with my leggings underneath, and then just like left them in the hallway, just gone about my business, and then they were like buried under a coat in the hallway.
Oh no,
that's where they were. They were. Oh God! But I was so glad that I found my jeans again. All was well.
Absolutely.
In the world
well, I know how traumatic it is for you when
it's very traumatic.
You know, jeans shopping for clothes generally is traumatic for you, as we have discussed on a previous podcast. So yeah, so to lose a pair of jeans, albeit temporarily, yeah, I can imagine.
I know. I was, you know, really, yeah. So that was occupied a lot of my weekend. And also I was back on the 30 days of yoga trail.
Aha.
So I know.
What prompted this? Why have you decided to do that?
Because I used to do 30 days of yoga with Adrienne on YouTube.
Yes, I used
to do that religiously every day. Literally for about 3 years, mm-hmm. and it's 30 days, but I would do it, and then when I got to the end of the 30 days, I would just go back to day number one again.
Yeah,
so always doing this, and I used to do this in the days before I used to go to the gym.
Yeah,
and that was my thing. And then of course I started to go to the gym, and then stopped doing it because I was like, oh okay, I'm doing the gym now, I don't need to do this as well. But I've been doing a lot of Pilates recently as part of my gym sessions, and been noticing that a lot of the sort of the yoga type moves, the balance and stuff like that, I'm just really rubbish at. I really need to get back. Because the thing is with yoga, anything like that, it literally is just practice. Like anything, the more you do it, the better.
Completely.
You get at it, you know? So I thought, right, okay, no messing around. So I was in at the weekend. I thought, right. You know, we were talking about in the book club the other week about getting started.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, just get the laptop and just put it over there and just, you know, get you, you know, what have you. So I did that. Like, right, get started. Got started on Saturday. Oh my God, I was amazed. It was like, when you think, I've got to the point with 30 days of yoga, I could probably recite every day what she said because I've done it that many times, you know.
Yeah.
Like she gets to a point when she goes, there's a dog hair on the mat. So professional. When she does that, I say it at the same time as her because I know it's coming up, you know. It's
So
but I was amazed at how much I'd just forgotten. It's like it was like, really? I don't remember doing this. I don't remember this being this long. I don't remember it being this hard. You know, it's like
more to the point,
and it was just like, God, it just makes you realize when you get out of the habit and practice of doing something, mm-hmm. the impact it can really have, you know. But I'm on day three. I did Saturday, Sunday. I've done 3 days now. I started on Friday because I did a gym session.
Yeah,
so I'll be on day four today, and already when I did it yesterday, it didn't feel as bad as it did on day one.
Yeah,
so that's been interesting.
Oh yeah, and I totally relate to that, because one of the things I did last summer during it wasn't the first lockdown, but it was sort of over the summer period where things were starting to ease up a little bit. But I bought one of these online dance workout things, because I thought, actually, that's the sort of thing. I haven't got a huge amount of space here to do, you know, normal sort of gym stuff like we would do, like burpees and all that kind of stuff. Although we weren't recording the podcast in November, you and I chatted about the fact that I was doing, in the November lockdown, doing home workouts and trying to fit everything in, and managed to twist my ankle while I was doing it because there's too much furniture around and all the rest of it. So I thought, well, actually, doing something like a dance workout, I don't need a huge amount of space to do that. You know, particularly for the one that I've got, and I'll work around it. I'll do something, and I'll be more motivated to do that. Didn't touch it until this year, and of course we're in lockdown again after Christmas and all that kind of thing. And I thought, actually, I do need to. I was really disappointed because I was just starting to get back into the gym routine again after November, and it wasn't locked down in November, but you know what I mean. I was sort of getting back into the swing of things, and after Christmas and what have you. You're right, don't die.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, so... tea went down the wrong way.
Steady on. But I thought, no, I need to do something something to start getting back into the rhythm of it. And this particular dance one that I've got is based on Latin American dancing. So there's lots of hip wiggling and that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll get into that. And the first time I did it, it was just like, okay, do I have hips? Like, they're not moving. What is going on? You know, I walk every day. I must have hips. What's going on? But I know I do have very tight hips anyway. So I always do a hip flexor stretch after a gym workout and that kind of thing. Because otherwise it affects my lower back. But certainly after sort of three or four iterations of doing the moves, it was like, this is coming more easily to me now. And to begin with, it's like, do I have any coordination at all? And I'm quite good normally at coordination. And it's just like, do this and do that. And you know, things, limbs are flying around all over the place, although in the one spot. I think, okay, this has to be a practice thing. And sure enough, of course it is. And now I'm finding that when the instructor says, right, do this move, it's like, I don't have to think about what it is or watch necessarily what they're doing. It's like, no, I know what that one is, so I can go straight into it. So you're so right about the practice, which, you know, I mean, obviously we're relating that back to both of our weeks last week with the book club. We were talking about habits and getting into the practice of things, weren't we, with the book that we were talking about, Atomic Habits. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. Practice is the thing. I'm not going to say practice makes perfect, because we don't believe in perfect. Done is better than perfect.
No, but it really helps.
Practice makes better.
Practice definitely helps. Definitely helps.
Yeah.
On the subject of the book club, that was one of the really good things about the week, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So within Trainer Talk, we recently started a book club, or, you know, it wasn't my idea. It was the lovely Christine Morrison.
Indeed. Shout out, Christine.
The idea to start a book club. And we had our inaugural meeting on Wednesday. And we were discussing this book, Atomic Habits, and I thought it was a really, really good session.
Yeah,
I thought it was fantastic.
It was great. I was just gonna say, with the number of people there, and you would expect, obviously, you know, trainers meeting up with other trainers with a good number of people in the room, you would expect us to know a little bit more than most about how to herd cats in a Zoom situation. And 'twas thus. So Christine did a great job of sort of steering the conversation, setting the questions, splitting people into breakout rooms. We have a discussion, then we come back and feedback the discussion. And I saw she'd posted sort of a summary of the discussion points as well, which is fantastic. So really, really good for anybody that can't make it. But I think the standout thing for me, aside from it being a book club, was the fact that we had lots of people with lots of differing views about how much they did or didn't enjoy the book, which I thought was really good, actually, because, you know, there's nothing to say that everybody's going to love every business book that is picked for the club. And there was a little bit of pushback about the proposed second book, which has now changed to a different book.
Yes. Well, you see, I must admit, I'm not keen on the upcoming book.
You know, it's changed, though.
No, the one that it's been changed to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because one of the things I realised, one of the things I didn't like about Atomic Habits was the fact that at the start of every chapter, there was always an explanation about the science and the experiment that had been done to kind of, so he could demonstrate the point about this habit that he was talking about. And I found that, you know, because I'm a glue, aren't I?
Yeah.
You know, and I knew that kind of sciencey sort of detailed stuff and that kind of thing. I was like, oh, I don't want to know this. I just want to get on to the thing.
Yeah.
I want to get on to the main thrust. Of,
you know? Did you just call yourself a blue? You're not blue, you're yellow.
No, I said, because I meant to say I have no blue. I have no
blue. Gotcha. I was going to say, hang on, because anybody, if there's anything to do with Insights or Clarity 4D listening to this, I'm always going to go, what?
I have no blue, basically. Mm. So that bit, I found just a bit tedious. And so when Christine changed the book to this one, which is about some kind of brain training, and I went on Amazon and looked it and then immediately saw the word science, and I was I'm not really sure whether this is going to be, but then I thought, no, you have to be open, you've got to open your mind to these things, buy the book, see what you think.
Absolutely. Although I do love the fact that you see the word science and instantly want to run a mile just remind anybody that might be new to the podcast, what is it your daughter, your firstborn,
oh, that's,
does?
That's my daughter. She's not me, is she? She's a, now what is she? A bioinformatician and genomic epidemiologist.
Hey, well done. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, absolutely. She's a raging scientist. Couldn't get she's much more sciencey than what Amy does, eh? But
yeah. And I'm very glad she does do it. And very glad for all the scientists out there.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Let's just give them a big round of applause, everybody, you know, for the amazing work that that they've been doing. But yes, but
yeah, it's not your bag, is it? Not your bag, for sure. For sure, for sure.
Not my bag. So that was the book club. That was really, really good this week. Also this week we had, in the Complete Trainer, we had a couple of, you know, really, really good sessions. First one from Richard Woods, and he was talking about prospecting and how to get into corporates, and I thought that was really good.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we had our catch-up session on Friday, equally as good, an opportunity for everybody on the program to come together and talk about what they're learning on the program and what they're taking action on. And really, really interesting, wasn't it, how the N word reared its ugly head yet again.
Indeed. So important, so important. And it's really interesting because I can see people going through, not everybody that is yet to find their niche or have their niche find them, but I can see some people going through the same process that I went through, which was just this absolute fear and dread of niching down to doing one thing for one type of people and then realizing in 6 months that's not what you want to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I know that you and I are going to have a chat about what we can do for them to help them work out a bit more of a step by step on getting closer to what their niche might be. But, you know, I mean, for people that know my story, it really took my niche to sort of come up and whack me around the head with a baseball bat before I realised what I should be doing. But I got there in the end. I mean, come on. But I do recognise those feelings of kind of, you know, I can do all these things, I enjoy all these things, I don't know what I want to do. And actually for me, one of the biggest things was, yeah, I enjoy all these things, but I enjoy them because I don't have to do them all of the time. And that was the thing that really got me. For me, it's about the variety. But I've managed to find my niche, but still have that variety in what I'm doing, and obviously the business is expanding to suit that.
Yeah,
so I've got lots of exciting things to think about and talk about and do, which is great. So that keeps this kind of the variety for me, but still being in my niche. But you know, I recognize where people are at for sure in that. Yeah, but I also know that we can get them through.
Absolutely. So so that was really good. The other thing that happened last week is, like, oh, Shane is back. The wonderful Shane.
Indeed.
Thank the Lord.
It's been a bit of a saga. A bit of a saga, hasn't it? But yes, we are very pleased to say, and this won't make any difference to many, many people, but it makes a huge difference to Sharon and to me to know that somebody who is on Team Gaskin, working, doing work and making stuff better for the Trainers Training Company, you know, a member of the team is back who was frankly fantastic, left through no fault of his own, and certainly not something that you wanted to happen, but he's now back. So we'll call it a temporary blip over, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something
three
like
weeks,
that?
3 weeks, yeah. Oh, well, and it was just amazing because, you know, because at the weekend, you know, there he was sorting out all the mess, getting up to speed with everything, you know, hashtag normal services resumed. Oh my God.
For sure. For sure. It just makes such a difference, doesn't it? When you've got somebody that you know you can rely on.
So important.
Yeah.
Team members, you know, you're running a small business and you've got people in the team, you know, you find a good person, they are, you know,
worth their weight in gold. Yeah.
You know, that really, really has become even more apparent than it already was after this experience.
Yeah.
You know, oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
Oh, big weight has been lifted from my shoulders. Woo! Woo! It was amazing. It was lovely. So that was that. So that was all that was very exciting this week. And the other thing, we need to talk about this big news. Need to talk about this. Did you know that there was somebody, I didn't see this myself.
Okay.
There was somebody apparently on Mastermind last week. I didn't even know Mastermind was still going. I didn't even know it was still on TV.
Yeah.
Apparently there was a person on there who as the specialist subject wanted to answer questions on Rafa Nadal.
I think that deserves a dun dun dun, doesn't it? I know. How dare they? There's somebody else in the world that is as obsessed with Rafa Nadal as you. Shocker.
I was appalled. I was like, Amy messaged me and she said, Mom, there's somebody on Mastermind answering the questions. And I was like, who is this person?
Oh dear, that's hilarious. Oh. That is hilarious. Have you seen it on catch up? Did you watch it?
I'm not quite sure what to observe this person.
Well, if only so that you can answer the questions as well and prove to yourself that you know more than they do, so they're nerd.
Do you know? Apparently they did quite well though, or something.
Oh, well, fine.
That was hilarious.
That's so funny. So funny. Well, yes, Mastermind has been going for a long, long time, hasn't it?
Still on. I really didn't
you?
God.
Yeah, well. John Humphreys is there. So yeah.
And obviously specialist subjects are, you know, have evolved. So, you know.
I think you could always have a specialist subject on anything you liked. Right. So there was nothing stopping you. Going on there and saying, you know, the life and times and professional playing career and anything else you can think of Rafa Nadal, you know, or My Obsession with Rafa Nadal by Sharon Gaskin, that kind of thing. You know, I'm sure you'd be fine.
I know. Anyway, that that did make me smile this week.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, my week, apart from all the stuff that we've already mentioned that we've been doing together, so book club, complete trainer, and various other bits and pieces, sort of big things for my week were I've set up the Facebook group properly for the Get That Gang now, and I think I mentioned last week that I'd recorded some videos until Facebook sort of went, can't be bothered. But I was successful in recording a new two-minute tip every day, every weekday last week, which is great, and kept going again this morning, which is really good. So that sort of format is working really well, because usually what I'll do is sort of have the dog walk in the morning, do the long one in the morning, and just kind of cogitate on, okay, so what have I been up to, what have I been doing, what's the kind of the 2 minute takeout that I can give people. And most of them, I'm really pleased, they've lasted for sort of 2 minutes. I think a couple of them, one in particular, went to 2:10, and I had already pre-warned when I was recording it, saying I'm not sure I'm going to get as much as I want to into this, but we'll give it a go anyway. I sneezed in the middle of one of them, so there you go. Done is better than perfect.
I'll be done.
I claimed 10 seconds back for that one. You know, when you're sitting there and you just think, I can feel a sneeze coming, it's coming. So there was nothing I could do, because it was a Facebook Live as opposed to a pre-recorder. I'm gonna sneeze, hang on, achoo, like this. it was so tickly. But that was really good. So I'm really pleased that A, I've started it, and B, that I've kept it going for the week and also into the next week. What I'm also doing is downloading the videos more or less as I go along, although I'll probably give this to my VA to do, and then uploading to Otter.ai to get the transcripts, because it occurs to me that after a period of time, I'm going to have quite a bulk of two-minute tips, which if I can turn them into sort of, you know, a couple of paragraphs each or something like that, that would make a really good lead magnet. That's really the main purpose of that one, and had some really interesting conversations with people, a few people last week, some about websites, some about funnels, and so I'm in the middle of a funnels or looking at marketing project at the moment, and mapping out what the current state of play is for somebody. And I found a new toy to sort of help me do that, which I mean, you'd hate it, but actually it would be brilliant for you well, because you know, with the full capability, you can map out sort of the flow of visitors through each of your touch points through your sales funnels, and you can work out from there where things in that funnel are working and where they're not working. So I mean, particularly when it comes to systems for the Complete Trainer, I'm gonna be so up to speed doing that.
Fantastic.
When I found it, it's like, how have I not seen this thing before? I mean, I knew of it, and I was just, oh my god, this is amazing. I feel like I know when it's something that is going to end up being quite a big part of the business, or certainly something that I'm going to use and I am going to pay for, because I'm just using the free version at the moment to check it out, is when I get that feeling like I'm sort of, you know, like the only kid in the candy store. It's that kind of, oh, it's so exciting. So and I can see all sorts of possibilities for it as well. And it's so cool mapping it out, and I can get pictures of the pages and where they are in each of the funnels and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's the sort of thing that as a former head of insight and performance, looking at you know, data and performance and analytics and KPIs and all that kind of stuff for my corporate life, it's like, I thought I'd left that behind, but no, it's caught up with me, and my little sort of analytical brain is going, this could be exciting. So that was really good fun. So I got more to do on that this week. I know. Well, it's
finding what all that is all about.
Yeah, and I'm going to be able to incorporate it into the business along with this new qualification that I'm doing, the Certified Master Persuader qualification, because it will work really, really well with that as well. And that's coming up. That's starting on the 15th is when we officially start. But enrollment has closed for it now. So there's only 16 of us in the first cohort. So one of only a handful globally that will be qualified in this. But they're already talking about pre-work, and I'm thinking, I've got enough to do before. Have we got time for pre-work as well? Oh God. So I'm going to be a busy bee, but it's all good stuff, and it's all stuff that I mean, you can tell. Is really sort of giving me enthusiasm for what I'm doing, which, you know, comes back to niching. I'm in the right niche, because this is the stuff that's really firing me up and getting me excited about it. So it's all good. It's all good. I'm sure other things happened last week, but they did. I know they did, but none as exciting as those that I've just mentioned. So there we are. Top of mind topic. Shall we move on to that?
Yes, top of my topic is really just about that, when you said, oh, I've got enough to do. Just really on that subject, you know, what do you do when you have too much to do? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you handle it? Because you know me, and you know, we're all about joy. I'm all about joy and ease and fun and business and making it light and all the rest of it. But when you have too much to do, then that can suddenly start getting a little bit frayed around the edges, and maybe that kind of feeling of heaviness might start to drift in. And I was certainly thinking this over the weekend. I mean, because obviously we've just, you know, January has come to an end. It was the end of January yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where did that go? Yeah. And like, not to talk about, you know, not easing into the year gently. It's been full on, you know, kind of like from the 4th of January, which is when we started back. It's just like been absolutely full on. You know, I just feel that I've been on Zoom every day, all day, every day. I'm involved in so many programs. I seem to be doing lots of delivery. You know, I've got my trainer talk people, my transform people, and now I've got the Complete Trainer, also doing more for the associate alert people, adding more value there. I've got all these one-to-one clients who have just all suddenly popped up. I've got them, and then I'm now a bit like you with your Facebook group, and I want to do more in the free group because we want to feed people into the Complete Trainer. And it's like, oh,
like, and this, then on top of that, you've got 30-day
exactly. So that started on the 1st of March, and so then yesterday I was like, literally, oh my God, I need to stop putting the emails together. Oh my God, I need to do this because we need to start getting that out. And I literally just woke up this morning and just felt that even before I'd come downstairs and switched my computer on, I was aware of what was in my diary for today. And it was just like, oh my God, I just need to, not saying I don't enjoy what I do. I obviously do. I love what I do, but it's just that, how do you slow down this, this train? And I thought, God, am I overcommitting to stuff? It's like, I don't know. Yeah. So how, it was like, how do I just slow down? So I'm stop doing things at a million miles an hour, I think. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. It's what I would coin it as Monday morning meh, when you sort of, you know, you get to your desk and, as you say, before you've even switched your computer on, your brain is already going, right, you've got to do this and this and this, yeah, and this and this and this and this and this and this. And it feels like it's sort of a never ending this and this and this and this, which of course, you know, we know that actually when you're in business, your to-do list never gets done. There's always stuff to do. And if you do get to the end of your to-do list, then you're not focusing on the right things, because there is always something to do. But the trouble is, we have been so indoctrinated to have a list, get the list done, finish, that we kind of beat ourselves up when we don't get things finished. But when you do have incredible passion and enthusiasm for your business, and for particularly the way in which you deliver your business, which for you is very much about the connection and the speaking to people and all the rest of it. I'm not saying it's not for me, but I know that is a particular value for you. Then it can be, it can feel sometimes quite overwhelming to realise all the plates that you're spinning. And it's not that you can't handle it, you absolutely can. It's just that that, in combination with a bit of miserable weather, in combination with the end of the month, in combination with, you know, perhaps you might not have had brilliant night's sleep, which with Jem, let's face it, is probably likely, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, wanting to go out and just stand in the garden. Less dogs for that, but it's all of these different things can sometimes combine, can't they, to give you that, oh, it's Monday morning, it's a new month, and I don't feel like I'm ready to face the new month yet. And it's, you know, how do you get yourself out of that feeling when you have that feeling? And I know that both you and I have both experienced that, and will almost certainly continue to experience that from time to time. So what are the tricks that we use to kind of flip ourselves out of that?
You know, woo-woo.
See, I know there's at least one person that's going to be listening to this, or maybe even watching this going, what? hi, Emma. Face palm. But yeah, let's explain what you mean by woo-woo.
Well, woo-woo, I've got like just so much more woo-woo over the last year, as I think I was talking about last week.
Indeed.
To my newsletter last week as well. So doing this, you know, this spiritual resilience mastermind journey that I've been on, and learning about all these sort of spiritual practices and sort of grounding practices and things like that, you know, that is helping me massively. So woo-woo. So my morning woo-woo is I literally wake up. I'm also enrolled in this course in miracles that I'm doing. So Robert Holden basically was running the Spiritual Resilience Mastermind. And now he runs this A Course in Miracles. And basically what it is, it's based on this enormous book, which apparently is really boring, but you have to stick with it.
Has it got the word science in it? I mean,
a bit, but yeah. but it's all a bit, it's very, very woo-woo.
Yeah.
But the idea, and I've resisted buying it actually for the first month, because I thought, I just want to let this, I don't want to get overwhelmed. I just want to settle in and then maybe I'll feel my way in. But actually bought it next week. So I will show it you next week, because apparently I will probably need to do some weight training.
I was just going to say, you're going to need to practice
shifting it into the camera. Absolutely massive. So basically how they run this program is that they switch it. So every day you get given a lesson, which is your lesson for the day kind of thing. And even better, you don't even have to read it, because basically it's on Thinkific, and they just, Holly is, who's his wife, so she has recorded all these lessons. So every morning you wake up and you just press on it and you just listen to the lesson, yeah. And that's like your focus for the day.
Nice.
So that's really nice. Now, a lot of these lessons are completely obscure, and you listen to them and you go, what the hell was that all about? But apparently I'm assured, a bit like on the Spiritual Resilience Mastermind, that the more you listen, and going back to the 30 days of yoga, the more you do it, eventually it all starts to make sense and starts to kind of seep into your consciousness. So that's what I do first. So woo-woo first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. Has been very good for me. And one of the things, listening to Robert this morning, he also does loads of Facebook Lives. So I also listen to one of those first thing in the morning. This is all while I'm in bed drinking my tea. This is about 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And one of the things he said this morning, which really resonated with me, was, and I've written it down, recognize that you won't get everything done, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, wow. It was like he was speaking to me. How woo-woo is that? It's like, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I woke up this morning thinking, oh my God, how am I going to get all this stuff done? It's mm-hmm. like, oh, the never-ending list. And he spoke and he said, recognize you won't get everything done, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, that's exactly, why do I feel that unless I tick everything on my list, then I've failed somehow?
Yeah, completely.
It's really grounded. And I just felt that, I felt a kind of like, come over me.
Nice. I like it.
I'm so woo-woo now. It's untrue. Who is this person?
You see, you're going to be having dreadlocks and tie-dye clothing for going out to celebrate.
Next. I'm telling you, it's coming.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, yours with getting a brush stuck in your hair is not that far off of dreadlocks, really, is it? I mean, come on. But yeah, I have a similar thing insofar as I try, wherever possible, to do a sort of 3/4 of an hour walk every morning, which obviously with Scamp is doable. But there are times when, particularly if I wake up and I'm having that kind of brain rush of all the things that have got to be done, it's very tempting to go, oh, I'll just chuck him around the park quickly and come back and get on with these things because I've got so much to do. And I've really been working on forcing myself to still do the long walk, no matter what time I wake up, no matter, you know, whether I get to my desk at 8:30, 9:30, you know, and I've still got to do my gym workout and all that kind of stuff, is to just say, it's okay. It will be okay, you know. And I'm pretty bad. I recognize one of the things that I do is I set myself artificial deadlines to get stuff done, which actually, if I didn't get those things done by that date, isn't going to make a blind bit difference to anybody except me, and using it as an excuse to beat myself up about it. So
internal pressure, isn't it?
Totally. And the guy that I studied, the co-founder of NLP, that I was fortunate enough to be mentored by, John Grinder, one of the things he always says is stress is only only pressure that we choose to take inside. And it's like, yeah, it's so true. I can control certain things, and there'll be lots of people going, yeah, it's control the controllables and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. This is all tied in with this stuff, is to think about, okay, what's a reasonable amount of stuff for me to get done during the day? What's my priority list? You know, whether you use the squares, the urgent important matrix, popularized by Covey, or whatever you do, just to get yourself in that place of, instead of everything fighting for attention at the same time, it's to start, you know, getting it back into it. Well, I can only do one thing at a time, so what am I going to start with? And then what's the next thing that I'm going to do after that? And just sort of keep plodding away with that. So I think that's an excellent way of getting yourself out of this feeling of overwhelm, or starting to get yourself out of this feeling of overwhelm, because there are other things you can do as well, aren't there, is by just sort of recognizing that you don't have to do absolutely everything, and particularly for business owners, you don't have to do everything on your to-do list, because you can't, and yes, can't, using that word, but it's sort of, it's more about giving yourself the space to know that things will get done. And, you know, yes, there are times when you can do with just getting on and on and on and on and doing one thing after another, after another, after another. But sitting there worrying about the amount of stuff you've got to do is going to make you less productive. So the first thing, whenever you start feeling that overwhelm, is to get yourself out of the feeling of overwhelm. It's not to do the stuff on your list. It's to get yourself out of that feeling of overwhelm before you then start on your stuff on your to-do list. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And just not having the, I think I described it as a, as like I say, this sort of never-ending train of stuff that you feel that you have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, there really is something about, and again, this is probably a psychological tool, it's something about breaking that pattern, you know, kind of moving away from that. You know, I was talking to you earlier about how, you know, I'm really aware that apart from my, you know, I do the walk with Gem, and I also schedule in my gym sessions. I'm very good about that, and I'm sticking to it, even though I'm having to do it on my own and the 30 days yoga and all that stuff. But even with all that going on, I still... you know, I will sit here at the computer and do my stuff and, you know, for 2 hours, you know, 3 hours or whatever. And, you know, that's not good for you. So I've really been trying to work on, you know, getting up and breaking that pattern and moving away from the desk and doing something. But I've also noticed that if I just put a sticky note on the computer and say, you know, stand up, you know, every 15 minutes, whatever, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. I've got to type, but if I say, oh, well, I need to get up and go and do something, do something, I don't know, different, like going watering my plants or something like that.
Yeah.
That will make me, it gives me a reason to sort of get up because it breaks that, gives me a purpose.
Yeah, totally.
Having that, because telling yourself to stand up is just like having another thing on your list, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Shift, is it?
No, so. Although if you're motivated by crossing things off of your list, of course, then having something like that might be quite quite motivational. The other thing you can do, it just struck me that it doesn't necessarily work because I've got into the habit of ignoring it now, but anyway, bear with. is I got my joint Christmas and birthday present, because my birthday's in October, so I actually got it back in November, is a fitness watch. It's Garmin fitness watch. I haven't got it on at the moment because it's charging in the other room. But one of the things I didn't realise it does, in addition to sort of alerting me to notifications and all that kind of stuff, which I can turn off if I want to, and counting my steps and looking at calories and all this kind of stuff and telling me the weather, it also has a function that if it detects that I haven't, or I've been sedentary for too long, it buzzes for like 5 seconds and then has a thing on the screen that says, move, like this.
I'd love that. I need one of those.
It's just the first time I did it. It's like, oh, bloody hell, my watch is telling me off now. It's just, it's one of those. And it's just, I mean, it is a good reminder for sort of, as you say, I don't think you've said it on the podcast, but as you were saying before, when we were chatting, even if you just get up and water your plants, you know, that's enough to just get you up from your desk to go and do something else. And I love that. I mean, my plants, you know, if they come into this house, they've got to learn to survive without much water, it has to be said, which a lot of them do extraordinarily. So I think that's a really good idea. So next time my watch tells me to move, I think I'll get up and water the plants and do that, do something.
Well, thank
like
you for it.
Exactly. Absolutely. Oh, I like the idea of plants. It's just, you know, the maintenance. It's like fresh flowers. I love the idea of having fresh flowers, but I'm rubbish at keeping them watered and sorting out. But anyway, that's a whole other subject.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Is there anything else that we can think of? Any other hints or tips that we can give?
I don't think so. I think it's just all about making a conscious effort to just slow down.
Yeah.
Anything you can do to just, even if it's just a case of, like I say, just taking a deep breath or getting yourself away, breaking the pattern, you know, or scheduling some time in for yourself and sticking to it, all those sorts of things. Because I do think it's just so easy to get sucked into that kind of must do.
Definitely. Give ourselves some nice self-talk. You know, when we get to the end of the day, whether we've done everything that we wanted to do or not, it's like, oh, good day, good job, well done. Absolutely. So yeah, and having an end to the day. I was terrible at that last year. Very, very bad. Anyway, should we move on to the dog walking digest?
Let's move on to the dog walking digest. So, you know, not too much to report other than the Gem, sort of her nocturnal wandering is continuing. So she seems to have started. I was saying to you before, it's not too bad. If she gets up, I let her out and she's in and out in a couple of minutes. I can cope with that. But it's when I let her out and then she goes wandering around the garden. I can't even see her because it's pitch black. Uh-huh. So God knows what she's doing out there. It can be like 15, 20 minutes sometimes, which is really frustrating because, it, you know, I've got more chance to wake up then.
Mm-hmm.
The more I wake up, the less chance I have of going to sleep literally straight away again. Mm-hmm. So I think that was another reason this morning why I was a bit like, oh, God, you know, I need Monday, because I'd like had about 4 hours sleep or something daft. I'll probably have more than that. But, you know, it's like
what it feels like. So, yeah.
Thanks, Gem.
Oh, poor Gem. Poor
catching Gem. Up on her. You know, she's asleep now, catching up on her nap time.
Yeah,
you know,
but, you know, so, some of the best sniffs are to be had at 4 o'clock in the morning, if you don't know. I mean, come on, yes. You know, it's best time indeed to go sniffing around the garden.
Indeed, indeed. so that happened. The other thing I was thinking, her, she's getting really, really, I don't know about Scamp, but getting really, really shaggy now. You know, really.
I'm very lucky. He's never needed grooming.
You know, getting really shaggy, but aren't we all?
Speak for yourself.
Exactly. And funnily enough, the dog groomer should have been here today, because that was her next booking, and but obviously she's not for mm-hmm. obvious reasons. So it's not too bad this time of year, but I just hope as the weather starts getting warmer. I know last year she really started to suffer because it's, you know, it's a lot to be carrying around, isn't it, all this extra fur.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I hope hopefully at some point the dog groomer will return. Who knows when?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's another topic.
Yes, isn't it just? Isn't it just? We are back in this cycle again of who knows? You know,
it's
coming out of lockdown lottery. But, yeah, we shall see. We shall see. Well, Scamp, we've had a few days of really horrific weather. Haven't we?
Yes.
And
yeah, we have.
Normally, you know, I've spoken before on the podcast about how Scamp isn't a fan of going out in the rain. Although if it's the first thing in the morning, he will go out because he needs to go out to do his business. So, you know, he's very rarely refused to go out first thing in the morning, which is absolutely fine. Saturday morning, so that was horrible weather on Saturday. It was absolutely, you know, coming down and really cold and wet and miserable. And you just think, ugh, who'd be a dog owner in this weather? But we do it anyway. So we're walking around. And for anybody that doesn't know, regular listeners, will be aware, my dog walking park is also a golf course. Now, of course, there's no golf on at the moment, but things like the bunkers with the sand in are still there. Now, when I say that Scamp doesn't really like the rain, he doesn't really like water. He is not a water dog. He will not go in the water unless he absolutely has to. And the absolute has to is bit of bread or trying to nick somebody else's ball, but he won't swim. He will go up to a certain height and then as soon as he can start to feel himself floating, he'll come back again. And that's only in the summer. He won't do it at all in the winter. So I'm quite used to this, no problem. I have seen him run up towards a bunker before that I've known has got a puddle in it. I've seen it's got a puddle in it, and he's not seen the puddle until almost too late, and he has leapt over this puddle like, you know, Superman or something, just to avoid getting wet. So it's like legend. On Saturday, we are trotting around the park as normal. Great big puddle in the bunker, same one that he tried to jump over before. I swear to you, he went up to the edge of it, he looks at me, looks back at the water, and he starts going through it like this, and then he's looking at me going, look at me going through the water. And out the other side, he's just, yeah, that was easy. Just off he goes up. Have you changed? Are you my dog? What is going on here? It was hilarious. It was just the way he walked through it, as if to say, yeah, it's no biggie, I just don't like doing it. All right. Like, it's almost as if he was trying to prove a point that I hadn't asked him to prove. It was okay, mate, you can walk through the puddle, good for you, well done. Very, very strange. And he was just, it was so nonchalant. Like, there was nothing to it. Whereas, as I've previously described, very same puddle, obviously different but same bunker, he has leapt over the top to avoid going in it, and this was just like, yeah, whatever. Okay.
Jem loves the water, as you know.
Spaniels generally do.
Oh, she loves the water. In fact, she has been known to surf.
No.
She's literally...
Excellent.
Ridden the crest of a wave.
Oh, nice.
One time she did.
Was it deliberate or was it kind of,
No. It was when we were down in Cornwall once, and she did go in after a ball. And you know what spaniels are like, going in after balls. And the next minute, this sort of wave just sort of picked her up. And she was like, it was quite funny.
Oh, that was my phone falling down. Whoops. Oh. Sorry about that.
It was quite hilarious. And then she did, over Christmas, she had a little incident as well where she went into the sea a bit like further than she should have done.
Yeah.
And that was when Ryan was home, and you could see him, he was all ready to start, you know,
doing his Baywatch thing.
His jacket off, thinking he's having to go in and
oh, that would have been cold.
I know, it would have been. But no, she loves the water. Aww. She absolutely loves it.
I mean, I am kind of glad in a way, because the biggest source of water, obviously, yes, I know I live by the sea and the beach, but Scamp doesn't really like the beach for whatever reason. I think when he was still very new to me, I took him down there too early, and that's kind of set the expectation for him, and he doesn't like it. We've been down since, but he gets overwhelmed. There's too much stimulation there. So the biggest source of water that we have is actually the pond in Queen's Park. But of course, during the summer, that gets low and scummy and disgusting and horrible. And you see these dogs go in and they come out a different colour. It's foul. So I'm kind of glad that he's not a water dog, because, you know, he's white with black splodges all over him. That he'd be a black dog. By the time he came out from that, and I'd have to clean him, you know, endless baths and that kind of thing. But as it is, I'm very, very lucky in that respect. But just, you know, no, I don't like the water, but I'm going to walk in it anyway. Okay, fine. That's fine. No problem. All right. Any more on the Dog Walking Digest?
No, I think we are done for this week.
Marvellous. Okay. Well, thank you for your time and patience, lovely listeners and viewers. If you're watching us on YouTube, do leave a comment and let us know if you're watching this on YouTube.
Perhaps not.
Sharon would rather you didn't. Please. But, you know, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, you know, do get in touch. Let us know what you think of our new format, even though, this one's coming up for 50 minutes. But, you know, la-dee-da. Yes, it'll be shorter. Not by much, but it is shorter. Anyway, thank you as normal. Please do get in touch with us through the usual methods. As I say, comments on YouTube, always welcome. Or in the Trainer Talk Facebook group if you are a member, or the How to Create a Training Business group if you are not a member, or email, or what else? Carrier pigeon.
Whatever.
Yeah. Get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Anyway, take care, everybody. All right, then. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Have a good week. Bye, everyone. Bye.